a little confused this morning because I was waiting for her to make me late. And I didn't have no excuses. And usually my excuse is like, I'm waiting for you to finish getting dressed so we can leave. And I still be doing all this other stuff. I hope she ain't listening. I still be doing all this other stuff trying to get ready. But my excuse has always been, I'm waiting for you to get ready so we can leave. God took that excuse away from me this morning. Amen. So sometimes when you use something the wrong way, God will take it and move it away from you. But thank God I'm here today and on time. Amen. So I'm going to just pray this morning. Father, as we come to you this morning, we just give you praise and honor. We thank you, Lord, for all that you continue to do. Lord, we bless your name and we magnify you. We give you praise and we give you honor. Father, I ask that you look over there in Staten Island in that hospital bed right now and touch First Lady, Lord. Give her strength, give her wisdom, Lord. Father, even at this time, somebody might be next to her. Father, I ask that she is able to witness to them in the name of Jesus. I pray that somebody maybe in the next room, a nurse or somebody, an orderly is walking by, and that they hear the word of God to know that God is still on the throne and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think or ask. So, Father, in the midst right now of a hospital where there's disappointment and confusion, I pray that she's a beacon of light to somebody that needs to hear the word. So, Lord, we thank you for all that did come out today, that braved the weather, Lord, that got up and came to give you praise, Lord, to thank you for what it is that you do. Lord, I ask that you continue to bless them today. I pray that each and every one in here today receives a word, receives a blessing, or encouraged, Father, for the tool that you will use today, which I say is my voice unto them. So, Lord, we bless your name. We give you praise. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Can we say amen? Can we say amen? Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I would go ahead and tell you that I had about four or five different messages today to give you. And every time I turned around, the Lord said, no, not that one. He wanted me to talk about the hidden blessings and the struggles of life. And he said, no, not that one. Amen. But what he wanted me to talk to you about is two words. He hesitated. Can you say that? He hesitated. So we know the story of Lot, the story of Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham was promised that he would have a heir, a son. He took matters into his own hands. He didn't wait, and he didn't hesitate. He had an illegitimate son. But God had promised Abraham that he would have his own son with his wife, Sarah. Amen? When God said that to Abraham, Abraham laughed a little bit. How many times have somebody told us something and we wanted it to be true, but we didn't believe it was true, and we giggled just a little bit? You know that little laugh we do? So Abraham laughed a little bit. The Bible says in his heart. But see, God knows your heart. He didn't have to laugh out loud because God knew his heart. Amen? So it's very important that you understand that, because things that you say might be one way, but what's in your heart, God sees it if it's another way. So anyway, there's three men came to see Abraham. And when they came, he bowed down and he invited them into the tent. He told Sarah, get something to eat for them. And one of them said, you know, you've been so gracious to us. Where is Sarah? Something that you don't understand is that when he said, where is Sarah? Sarah's name had just been changed from Sarai to Sarah. How would they know her name had been changed? The second thing that happened is that when you had visitors, the wife would not be inside She would not be around them, I should say. She would not be around them. She would be cooking and doing whatever she had to do. So she was inside, and she heard one of them say, because you've been so gracious to us, your wife will have a son for you. Now, Abraham already got the promise from God in chapter 17, and now we're in chapter 18, and Sarah hears this, and she kind of thinks to herself, she giggles. He's 100, and I'm 90. Ain't no way. You know, there's a song they sing, ain't no way, ain't no way. I know Sarah was singing, ain't no way, in her heart. Amen? But anyway, that person that told them that Sarah was going to have the baby was the Lord. You see, it had to be Jesus. It had to be the Lord, because the Bible tells us no man has ever seen God. You can't see God and survive. So that had to be the Lord. So when people think that the Lord wasn't, Jesus Christ wasn't in the Old Testament, right there, I want you to know that that had to be the Lord. Amen? So now, the two angels, they left to go to Sodom to go see Lot. But the Lord stayed back with Abraham. And the fact of the matter is that when they went to see Lot, they spoke to him about what was going on in that city. Now, when they met Lot, Lot was sitting at the gate of the city. So at the gate of the city, that's where all the going-ons of the city would go on. All the important business was being handled right there. Amen? So that means that Lot had some kind of position. He had some position of authority in the city. Now, Lot was a righteous man. But he still knew that all the things that were going on, he still did not do anything to make them feel or tell them or let them know that what they were doing was wrong, that they had been sinning. Amen? So when the angels of the Lord came, it seemed that Lot bowed down and spoke to them, but he didn't realize that they were angels from the Lord. You see, because Lot wasn't that spiritual. So I'm going to stop right there to say that. You see, when Abraham saw the three men coming, he realized who they were. Because Abraham was a spiritual individual. Lot was not as spiritual as Abraham, which we're going to find out later. Amen? So sometimes in your spirituality, in your walk, when God sends somebody to you, if you ain't right, you don't even know who they are. But when you're right, you'll know who they are and you'll know who sent them. Amen? So Lot invites the men into the city to go to his house so they could get something to eat. He wanted to be accommodating to them. So when Lot gets them to his house, all of a sudden, all of the men of the city and around the city and outside the city came banging on his door. Now, I did realize this story, but I didn't realize the depth of this story, of what's happening now. All of the men, or most of the men, or a whole lot of men, young, old, came banging on his door. And they said to him, who are those men that came to your house? Bring them out to us so we might get to know them. Lot came out of the house and said, no, you can't do that. They're my guests. But let me tell you what Lot did. He says, I got two daughters who never knew a man. Why don't you take them?
But they didn't want them. They wanted the men. And a riot was getting ready to start. And then the angels pull Lot back inside of the house. Amen. And then the angels lock the house down. Amen. You see, when God locks something down, nobody can get in. You know, we always say when God opens a door, nobody can close it. And when he closes the door, nobody can open it. Well, the angels of the Lord locked the house down. It's important that you understand that you have the angel of the Lord in your house. It's important that you understand that you put the blood of the cross across your door of the house. So when evil comes by, he can see that it can't get inside because it's on lockdown. Amen? Even when Noah built his ark, when you look at the Bible and you read that story again, you're going to find out that God locked the ark. Noah didn't lock the ark. God locked the ark. Some of us need God to lock us down because we're too busy. Amen? Some of our households are too busy. Some of the things that we do, we're just too busy, and God needs to lock us down. But anyway, let me get back on point here. So, the angels of the Lord came in and pull Lot back inside, and they locked the door. And once they locked the door, they blinded all of those men that were outside so they couldn't see. Amen? Blindness is a weapon that God uses. Not only does the enemy use his blindness, but God uses blindness to it. Amen? So the Bible goes on and tells us that the two angels, when they came to Lot, they locked the door down. And what happened is they told Lot, listen, God is going to destroy this place. Get yourself in order. Get your family in order. Amen? And he said, who do you have here? He says, oh, I got my daughters and I got my wife. They said, do you have anybody else? I got my son-in-laws. Well, you need to tell them. Amen? But the son-in-laws laughed at Lot. They didn't take it serious. But when the Bible goes on and says what happened, it says that Lot and his wife and his daughters left. So the people who laughed were left behind. What I want to say to you this morning is just because when God tells you to do something, you go ahead and do it. You might get laughed at, but you go ahead and do it. Because while they're laughing at you, they're getting left behind. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says in these scriptures, the man then said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-laws, your son, your daughters, and whomever you have in this city, take them out of this place. So when the angels told Lot that, it's an example for us that when God is getting us to move and getting us to do something because he's about to make a move, a change thing around everybody that's associated with you, you need to get them on the move. You need to talk to them. You need to warn them. You don't worry about whether they laugh at you, but you are responsible for them. Amen. The angels was telling Lot, everybody in your family, your in-laws, you're responsible for. I know people make a lot of in-law jokes, but you're responsible for them. Amen? I didn't get a lot of amens because of the in-laws, but that's all right. You're responsible for your in-laws. You married to their son or their daughter, you're responsible for them. Amen? His son-in-laws thought that he was joking. Amen? You see, this was a compromise. This shows you how serious people took Lot about his relationship with the Lord, his spirituality, his salvation, that when he warned them, they laughed. The angel says, take everybody, warn them. Amen? The Bible says, have you anyone else here? Amen? When you start doing things, ask yourself, do you have anyone else here? So what's the point of all of this that I'm saying this morning? Listen to what happened. The Bible says, when the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. There was no son-in-laws there. Lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And while he lingered, the Bible says that the angels told Lot, get your wife, get your two daughters, and get out of here. And it says, and yet he lingered. Other Bible verses will say he hesitated. There are things going on in your life right now. There's things going on in the world right now. You're looking at them and you are hesitating. The angels of the Lord told Lot to get out, and he hesitated. God is speaking to some people right now. There's some things that he's telling you, don't hesitate. Come on and let's go. And you're hesitating. Your hesitation can cost you your life. Amen? Hesitation could have cost First Lady her life. Because the doctor said, go. Sometimes God is telling you to go. Why are you hesitating? But the Bible then turns around and said, but the men, the angels, grabbed Lot by the hand. Amen? The angels grabbed them by the hand and took him on. Sometimes when you're hesitant, God will use somebody or a couple of people to grab you by the hand and make you go, force you to move. Why did Lot hesitate? He hesitated because he had a position in the city. He had a position of power. Why did Lot hesitate? He hesitated because life was good there. He had a nice home. He had servants. He had everything that he wanted. And he thought about, I'm going to leave all of this behind. There's some people that are hesitating because they're thinking, I'm going to leave all of this behind. But when God tells you to move him, whatever it is that you lose, he will multiply tenfold. You worrying about the little bit of money you got in the bank, he's got millions waiting for you. You worried about this little two-family home that you got, he's got a mansion for you. But you can't get to that place until you leave this. Amen? So you got to be willing to leave without hesitation when God is doing a new thing in your life. It don't look right. It don't look good. It don't look comfortable. But it's a new thing that God is doing in your life. Don't hesitate. But the angels of the Lord brought him out of there. Now here's the next thing that happened. They told him to go up to the mountain. Keep running. Let's go up to the mountain. And he said, no, I can't. Let's just go right over there. You see, sometimes God will put you and tell you to go somewhere, and you just want to go right over there. Sometimes God tells you to move a long way away. Sometimes you got to get away from everything that you ever known, everything that you ever did, in order for God to truly use you. But you like it here because it's close, it's comfortable, it's fuzzy, it's warm. God, in his grace and mercy, let the angels let him move over there to a city called Zoar. It was a small city. It wasn't a big metropolis. But it was still close to where he used to be. Sometimes God wants to move us somewhere and we want to be close to where we moved, but we didn't move far enough away. We still want to be close to where we used to be. There are things going on. You don't need to be near where you used to be. I remember years ago when I first got married, a good friend of mine, his father worked in the housing authority. He was a manager. All of my friends grew up in that project. I didn't grow up in the project, but those were my boys. I had to live near them. Get me a place in that project. And he could have did it, but he knew me. And he knew his son. And he knew all of us. And he made sure that I didn't live near where I used to live. Because I wouldn't have stayed married. I would have been still hanging out with the fellas. Amen? So sometimes God is moving you in a place away from where you used to be. You don't need to hesitate. So let me tell you what the hesitation cost Lot. It didn't cost Lot his life, but it did cost him his wife. You said, well, how do you say that it cost him his wife? Because he was the man of the house. He was the leader in his house. Okay, because I want to address leaders in the house, because every house don't have a man in the house these days. Amen? So he was the leader in his house. He hesitated. He had some doubts. He didn't know if he really wanted to leave. But the angel of the Lord said, don't look back. Amen? He hesitated and his wife looked back. Your hesitation leads to somebody else's disobedience. As the leader of your house, your hesitation caused somebody else their disobedience. And disobedience was one of the first sins there ever was. How do you say that? Because God said, do not touch that apple. Do not touch that fruit. Leave it alone. But disobedience and curiosity says, let me see what's in there. The devil put some seeds of doubt in there. Do you really think? Do you really believe? So what I'm saying to you today, if you lead a house, if you're a mother, if you're a father, if you're an auntie that has a whole bunch of people, if you're a grandma, grandpa, when you lead a house, Your hesitation in God will cause other people to lose their life, to go through things that they don't have to go through because they're looking up to you. They're following your lead. They're watching to see what you're going to do. I had a conversation with two guys yesterday that I grew up with, and I'm only about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 years older than them. And for them to tell me, years ago when we were growing up, I used to watch you. I didn't know they were watching me. Not that I did everything right, but they were watching me. Do you know somebody's watching you? Your little children and your grandchildren, they're watching you. When you come into church and they say stand and you sit, they're watching you. When they say praise the Lord in church and you don't say nothing, they're watching you. They're going to emulate you. They're going to praise the Lord the same way you do. They're going to serve the Lord the same way you do. They're going to be hesitant just like you do. And all the enemy needs is that little seed of hesitation, that little seed of doubt, and all of a sudden they're out of the house. Your hesitation will cost somebody their life. We grew up in a time, most of us that are here, we grew up in a time where there was no hesitation about serving the Lord. There was no hesitation about what God wanted you to do. There was no hesitation about where you were going on Sunday. There was no hesitation when somebody told you to do something, whether it was your parent or some other adult. But we're so full of hesitation right now. We so much like Lot right now. we need to go back to our first love and understand that when God tells us to do something, that to do it. When God tells us to move, that we should move. We should say, how far? Where do you want me to go? How much do you want me to do? I spoke to a young man yesterday. We was picking up boxes of turkeys, and he was in the truck picking up boxes and boxes, and he looked at me. He says, you a pastor? I said, yeah, I am. He says, you in this truck picking up boxes? I said, yeah, I am. He said, I got a question to ask you. I said, oh, okay. He said, I want to know something. I said, well, what is it? He says, you know, I'm only 2 years into my walk. I said, okay. He said, I got saved and then my wife got saved. So she's following me in the walk. I said, okay. He said, but my wife and I have been talking. And there's a question that I really need to ask you. I said, okay, well, what is it? He says, you know, see this thing that I'm doing right now? He says, I'm working. He says, I'm picking up boxes. I'm throwing turkeys around. He says, and we got a church that got 2,000 people in it. He said, but I don't understand why we can't get but maybe 25 people to come out and help. He said, most of those are the old saints. You know, the ones that's seasoned, that's been around. He said, I'm starting to have a problem with that. He says, what do you say to that? I said, well, first I started asking the Lord to give me some words. Because I got to deal reality, the reality of the situation with Scripture. Amen? If you ever want to know what I always try to do, I try to talk about the reality of the situation with Scripture. Amen? Because Scripture is Scripture, but if you don't understand Scripture and is able to apply it to your life, then you just understand the words. But there has to be some application. Amen? So I explained to him, I said, listen. I said, remember when you was a little kid? He says, yeah. Now the man is about 40-something years old. I said, remember when you was a little kid? He said, yeah. I said, remember you used to have all of that energy, you used to run around, and they used to tell you to sit down and shut up? He said, yeah. I said, well, you're a new babe in Christ. You got all of that energy. So you're running around, and you want to be used, you're doing everything that you can. I said, but remember, they said, have you ever heard them say, old people shouldn't have children? He said, yeah. I said, because they don't have the energy to keep up with the children. I said, so you're a new babe. You got all of this energy. You're excited. I said, don't let what somebody else does take away your joy. Because he's going to bless you for what you're doing. I said, I want you to understand something. I'm not here judging anybody. I'm here doing what I do because God has gifted me and given me the ability to still do what I do. I said, now, the only thing that I will tell you is this. I said, remember when you was a teenager and you used to run around playing basketball and football or whatever? He said, yes. I said, can you do that now? He said, no. I said, do you have a son or a daughter that can play sports? He says, yes. I says, you go to their games? He says, yes. I says, what do you do? I says, you sit on the sideline and you rah-rah and cheer them on. You can't do what they do, but you're there to cheer them on. That's what you can do. I said, so the only thing I would tell you is, don't hold it against those saints, but maybe you need the encouragement from them to rah-rah and cheer you on when God uses you to do what you're doing right now. So that's a message in there for all of us, that you might not be able to do things like you used to do, but when people, especially our young people, when they're doing things, we need to be there to rah-rah and cheer them on and let them know that they're loved, Let them know that we are encouraging them. Let them know that we support them. Amen? Because the enemy was wanted to plant seeds of doubt in this young man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because there was going to be a time where there was going to be some hesitation. Because the next time they said, can you come and do this? He might have said, no, I'm not doing it. I don't know if I can make it. I'll let you know later. You ever hear that one? I'll let you know later, and later never comes. Later never comes. So by not contacting you later, he lets you know. Your hesitation can cost somebody their life. Your hesitation can cost somebody their salvation. Your hesitation, if you are a child of God, you have to stand up and be bold and shout it out. You got to let people know who you are and the God that you serve. Amen? We're the most hesitant church people that I know. When you look at the Muslims, they are out there selling you their papers, selling their pies. They want to let you know that Muhammad speaks. Muhammad's been dead for years. But to them, Muhammad speaks. The Jehovah's Witnesses are running around. They're still knocking on doors. Pandemic or no pandemic, they're still on the corner. They're still there. The Jewish people still are being Jewish people. They're not letting anything put hesitation in their worship the way they worship. Our hesitation is costing people their lives because people are dying every day. The numbers are going up. They're not coming down. Every time you turn around, somebody you hear is somebody or something. Things are happening, and we're hesitating. Don't hesitate about God. You don't have to come to church to praise the Lord. You don't have to come to church to serve God. He didn't say, well, come into the building, then everything is going to be all right. He said, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Our hesitation. The Bible says Lot hesitated. There's a reason that the Bible puts an emphasis on that. When you read the Bible and they put an emphasis on something, that means pay attention. It didn't say that he didn't want to go. It said he hesitated. Hesitation is a physical, mental thing all at the same time. Because when you're hesitant, you walk slow. When you're hesitant, you stop. When you're hesitant, you put your head down. When you're hesitant, you can't move like you want to move. When you're hesitant, you have an afterthought about what it is that I'm getting ready to do. You know how you used to be hesitant to come to church when your mother used to make you come to church? You didn't want to go. I used to be hesitant. My mother used to make me come to church. My father made me come to church. I was the most hesitant one. I would hesitate to come out to the car. They had to come and get me. Couldn't find the clothes that I needed to wear. That hesitation meant something. Your hesitation means something. When you hesitate, you create an opening. And the enemy only needs a small opening. That's all he needs. Do you want to know why he only needs a small opening? Because he ain't got no backbone. He's like a snake. His body can fit into anything, like a little rat, like a little mouse. There's no bones in there. They can just wiggle right on in. They don't need no grease on the side. They don't need no olive oil. They can just ease right on in. We're letting too many of our children, too many of our husbands, too many of our lives go because we're letting the enemy ease on in. We're hesitant to say something to somebody about Jesus. We're hesitant to let them know that they need to be in church. We're hesitant to let them know that they backslide and they need to get their act together. We're too easy on our people. That's why things are happening. We're too easy. We're acting like it's okay. We don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. You better hurt some people's feelings. You better let them know that time is winding up. You better let them know that you might not see what's going on, but I see. And because I see and I read this book called the Bible, there are things going on that you're not recognizing. So you need to get yourself together here. You need to know that you ain't got a whole lot of time. You need to know that tomorrow's not promised to you. Amen. We walk around like we got all the time in the world. We don't. Everybody has a specific time that you got, that God has gifted you with. What are you going to do with your time? Are you wasting your time? Are you using your time? Are you manifesting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your time? In the time that you spend around people, can they see something different in you than in somebody else? Because if they don't see nothing different in me than they see in you, then me and you are the same. Amen? Because the Bible tells me that when Abraham saw the three men, he knew there was something different about them. Hallelujah. When Jesus opened his mouth at 12 years old in the temple, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everybody knew that there was something different about this child. When Jesus did what he did, they said, "What manner of man is this? That the winds and the waves obey him." What are you hesitant about? What is going on in your life? 99, I always say 99 and a half won't do. Either you for Christ or you not. Either you with him or you not. Either you for him or you not. You see, Christ is for us even though we might not be for him 100%. He is for you right now. In the midst of your trials, in the midst of your tribulations right now, he is for you. Amen? So I'm going to stop right here because I just believe that you can hesitate, but don't turn back. Lot's wife turned back. Wherever God has brought you from, don't turn back. You might not have another opportunity. Don't turn back. Turning back is disobedient to a God that was wonderful enough to bring you from somewhere where you had no business being. Amen? Don't turn back. Amen? God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. God knows your limits. Don't turn back. God knows the struggles that you're going through. Don't turn back. God knew that Abraham and Sarah wanted a son, but he said, don't turn back. What I promise you. When God has given you some promises, stand on the promises of God. God can bring out the best in you. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't even know the best in you. You don't even know the best of you, but God does. Amen? If you can sit here today and say, I'd never believe that God can get me here, God can take you other places even higher. Even better, if you trust in him. Amen? Even though Abraham giggled, it was a nervous giggle. I can't believe it giggle. Even though Sarah giggled, I can't believe it. It's a nervous giggle. They're both in the walk of faith. When you go to Hebrews 11:1, And you read about the heroes of the faith, the people who had faith beyond faith. Both of them are in there right now because their faith superseded their hesitation. Their faith superseded their unbelief. Somebody here today, you need to have the faith to supersede your hesitation. You're hesitant about something, but God is moving you in a new direction for some blessing. If you don't move, you can't get blessed. Come on, somebody. If you don't move, you can't get blessed. The place that you are at right now is too small for the blessing that God wants to give you. The place you're in right now is too small for the healing that God wants to give you. It's too small. God is never going to overload you with tests and trials that you can't handle. So walk on, be strong, knowing that God has got your back. Amen? Let us stand this morning.